am, KO4NUE. NUE, no contact, I'm clear.
NUE, K4OIM. Congratulations, Chad.
K4OIM, KO4NUE. Hey, Walt, how are you doing today?
Doing okay. Man, I am so proud of that eye surgery, Chad. I am sitting here cleaning things out for tomorrow over here in my shack where my full refrigerator and all was. I'm moving all that stuff back to the bedroom and tearing that wall out and putting me a workbench there. I think I got enough material to do everything. And give me some more room in here and clear my operating desk off, Chad. Yeah, I'm proud of you upgrading Saturday, Chad. I knew you were going to study for it, but you surprised me. KO4 and UE, K4, OIM.
I think that was the hardest test I have ever taken in my life. And I was sweating bullets. I walked in there to take it and I just got sick in my stomach. And I just sat out in the parking lot for a little while and I thought, nah, just go on home. And then I just, you know what, I'm just going to go do it. But it was difficult, I ain't gonna lie to you.
Hey, Mindy, you missed on it, or did they tell you, Chad?
You missed 7. I believe it was 7 or 9. One of the two. I can't remember which one he said. Yeah. We'll go with 9, but he may have said 7.
I love you. Now you got to get Miss Anna to go up and get that general. Is she even interested in the general, Chad?
Walt, she'll surprise you, though. I mean, when it comes to these radios, it's hard to explain. I've been married to that woman for 27, 26 years now. And once she gets in here messing with the radios or just looking at them, or she'll just watch me when I'm doing this or doing that. Well, let me put it to you this way. I'm struggling how to describe it. So, the last time we were in here getting ready for the net, I was doing something wrong. I forget what it was, doing something with radios. And she said, no, you can't do it that way. We have to do it like this. And just she came over here and bam, bam, bam. And she just, I mean, she had the thing set up, ready to go. And I'm thinking, I ain't know what to think, you know.
Listen, today I had to go up to Inman to get some gas in my truck so I could get back and forth this week to pick my grandson up at school. And I heard you go back and give that guy a signal report on his radio. And I then when he said he was sitting out there in his underwear, and I heard how you were laughing and carrying on about him out there and talking on his radio in his underwear. I said, now Chad knows what everybody else felt that night when he said he called the net sitting in his underwear.
Oh, Walt. I'm going to tell you what, bud. You got me good. I mean, you nailed me to the plank, bud. I don't think I will ever forget that. Oh,
you sneaky. You gotta watch. In life, it's so hard. I was at the red light up there at the station, and it had turned green, and I was sitting there laughing, listening to that conversation, and the car behind me blew the horn, and I looked up, and the light was green, and I just eased on across the road, but I was laughing, man. I was about just rolling in my truck, listening to that conversation. I said, well, now Chad knows. I was sitting there laughing that night when he said, get his britches on, and I'll be all over there, Tom.
Oh, my word. And, I mean, I was trying not to, you know, get him angry at me or nothing. But, I couldn't help it. And I just told him, hey, you know, I do the same thing, too. I didn't get into when you got me on the net. But, oh, man. And you know the funny thing about it, Walt, is every time I get ready to do the net, they come in here in a ham shack, and it makes me put on a pair of pants.
I guess I didn't get you then, Chad. I didn't know I got you that good.
She sure does. I told her last time we came in here. I said, good grief, baby. You want me to put on a tie, too?
How's your baby goats doing, Chad? Boys, you were having the bottle feed.
Good. They're still, I mean, they're healthy. I mean, just as healthy as can be. We dropped them down to one feeding a day. But, I mean, they're doing pretty good. I don't know what happens. Well, sometimes when they have two goats at a time, they won't feed either one. We've never been able to figure it out. And it's not the same goat. It's just, you know, I don't know. We just have never been able to figure out why the mother will just drop. And it's always two. It won't drop just one. She'll drop them both. And it's just like, just don't get near me. She won't have anything to do with them.
Slaughter any of them to eat?
Well, me and Anna started the goats 15, 16 years ago. And Dad just kind of took over. But we used to eat them. And primarily milk, though. We would milk them and make cheese, goat cheese, off of the milk. And one year we had two mothers, two human mothers in the community that were struggling to get their child. The child wouldn't nurse. Or would nurse, but could not tolerate their mother's milk. So one of the mothers tried formula for the child, and that was kind of successful. But one mother, she was not able to feed the child herself, or the child would not tolerate formula either. So the doctors put the child on goat's milk, canned goat's milk, which is absolutely horrible. And she didn't want to feed the child that. So long story short, we went and had the goats, all of the milking mothers go through testing with the vet, with the local vet, to get it, you know, make sure they were safe to drink. I mean, we'd been drinking it for years. But if you sell it. You have to do things a little different. So we have tested for TB and brucellosis, and when they passed, then we started selling to mothers, human mothers in the community to feed their children with. Because goat's milk is naturally homogenized. It's already broken down. It's not like cow's milk. If you drink cow's milk, you have to, your body has to digest it. Well, with goat's milk, it's not that way. It is pretty much broken down when it enters the body. And that's perfect for infants. So, yeah, that's, we used to butcher and milk and cheese and things like that off of them.
I was asking that, I don't know, it's been 30 years ago. I was working shutdowns with Flora Daniel, and we had finished the job up in Oklahoma, and my superintendent lived over in cow pens, and me and my baby brother, we went over there with the intentions of checking to see if we could get on the crew for the next shutdown. Well, we got over there, he had a shop out there where he built engines and all, and he raised goats. Plus, he had liquor still. Went over there, went to the garage, just sitting there talking to him, and we ended up buying a half gallon of moonshine. And he said, get in the Jeep. Let's ride out here to the pasture. We rode out there in the pasture with him. He got his rifle out, and bam, he killed this goat. We loaded it up in the Jeep, took it back up there to the shop, dressed that thing out. And he fired up one of them big old cast iron wash pots. Well, me and my brother got to drinking, and we sat there and helped him cook that goat hash. We ate a couple of sandwiches out of it. Man, it was good. And he gave me about a half a gallon of goat hash. And we took it home, and my wife was working down at Pioneer Fish Camp. When she got off work, me and Dean, we had done heated up that goat hash, was sitting there eating sandwiches, and she came in and said, man, what in the world y'all cooking? That smells so good. I just said, it's hash. She went there and fixed her a big old sandwich of it, was sitting there eating. And she said, what kind of hash is this? And my brother looked at her and said, bah. She threw that sandwich down on the table. She wouldn't eat another bite of that goat hash. But, man, I love goat hash, Chad.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, if you can, if you can get past what it is and get it seasoned right, I can tolerate it. But when you doing the butchering yourself, I cannot butcher an animal and eat it the same day. I just can't do it. I don't know what it is. I guess smell gets on my hands or whatnot. But you know, I have to wait a couple of days before I can eat anything I butcher. But we used to butcher all our animals years ago. And I mean, that's how we, you know, fed ourselves pretty much. But I don't know. I had a little incident happen with the boys when they were growing up, and we quit butchering because daddy come up here one year when they were real young, for Christmas. With two two Red Ryder BB guns. And they were too young, and he didn't ask me or Anna. He just brought them up here for Christmas. And, oh, man, that was a tough year with trying to teach them with the BB guns. They shot the windshield out of the truck and the headlights and the park lights and everything else. And, well, one day, it come time to butcher a goat, and I got my rifle, put my boots on, and the boys were just like, "Daddy, where are you going? What are you going to do?" And I said, "Well, it's time to butcher a goat." "Oh, we want to go. And I said, "Okay, well, y'all need to see this, I guess." So they took the Red Ryder BB guns and took off. Down to the pasture they went, and I got halfway down there walk, and I heard the awfulest racket I've ever heard in my life. And I run down to there, and the goat was just hollering. And I run in the pasture, and them two boys had that goat hemmed up in the corner, and they were tearing him up with that Red Ryder BB guns. And I'm hollering, "Stop, what are you doing? And that's, "Well, Daddy, we're butchering the goat." And I thought, "Oh, my gosh, no, y'all can't, you can't do it like that, boys." And it's just, so ever since then, we didn't.
Repeater time out, exit. Repeater time out, clear.
You talk the repeater down, Chad. Yeah, it sounded like I was working for this guy down here in Spartanburg, but since we had a trackhoe and a backhoe, everybody around when they had an animal die or something, they'd call me, call Bill, and I'd go out there, usually where the animal was laying, and dig a hole right beside it and roll it off in the hole and cover it up. This guy called one morning and it was cold as all get out. There's snow on the ground. I thought I was going to be working in the shop. This guy called, said he had a cow that had fell out there in the snow against a fence post right up in his gut. They wanted me to come over there and bury it. I went over there with the rubber tire backhoe, unloaded it, and looked out there in the pasture, and I didn't see nothing out there dead. He come out, and I said, "Well, Randy, where's that goat at? That cow. That's her standing over there." And I looked, the cow was standing over there like nothing had happened, but its intestines was hanging out. I said, "I ain't burying a live animal. And I ain't got no gun." He said, "Oh, don't worry about it. I got a gun." He went in the house and come out like John Wayne with a .22 pistol now. Gonna put that big old heifer down. And he shot and hit the cow right up in the left shoulder. And that cow took off running. It jumped the fence over to another man's pasture, and I'm telling him, I said, "Man, you ain't going to kill that cow with a .22. He finally went back up in the house and come out with a Winchester. We went down there where the cow was, and he shot it down there. Well, we had to get permission from the owner of that pasture for me to go down there. We couldn't bury it in his pasture. I had to tie a chain around the cow's neck and drag it a good quarter of a mile back up there to his pasture and dig a hole and bury that thing. But he was going to kill a cow with a .22 pistol, K4OIM.
That's awful. Mercy. Well, listen, The reason I was calling you was, so I'm thinking about changing my call sign. I hadn't made my mind up yet. And I've been on a couple websites looking at the ones that are available. And I think I found one that I like, and I just want to run it by you and see what you think.
Well, if you're thinking about getting into Morse code, that KO4NUE is a pretty good call to have, Chad.
I'm looking at is KN4KK. Just want to know what you thought about that.
That sounds good. I like that one. So you gonna go to a 2x2, huh?
That's aggravating you all, because it's got two K's in the end of it. And I remember you telling me not to get one that had the ends in a K because of CW. But I'm just messing with you a little bit. But I have been looking at them. But I don't know, Walt. I kind of like my call. I don't think I'm going to change it. I mean, Anna's been over there looking, and she's found some of them that I like, but that she likes. But I don't know. I think I'm just going to keep the one I got. There are some interesting calls out there, though. And we've been doing a lot of research on how to, you know, change your call. Hang on, Walt. The KO4NUE, K4OIM.
KO4LZI, according to what I read in QST, you're going to change your call to do anything like this. You better do it before 2022, or you'll be paying $35.
4LZI, Andy, how are you, bud? You doing all right?
I haven't changed my call, but I've been somewhat reading in QST about it. And they say in the QST, that's supposed to go into effect. That fee is sometime in 2022. So if you're going to make a call change, you better do it before next year gets here. And I assume you got the extra class. I assume you did. And I missed seeing you down there at the Hamfest, Ward. I guess you had to look after that grandson.
Poor dad, Andy. I told my daughter, I said, can't you take her over to his sister's house? And she called my granddaughter, and she was babysitting three more kids, plus her three, and she said, I can't handle him. So I was stuck here. Man, I want to go over there. It's so bad, I didn't know what to do. I didn't need any radio equipment. I just wanted to go look at them magazines you had, Andy.
There, and for everybody that was down there, I showed them to them, and I even had one person in there take pictures of some of that was in that Radiocraft magazine.
It didn't. Online, I've got this guy that I order my QSL cards from. It's called Ham Crazy. And they sells all kinds of advertisements and stuff for ham radio, and he'll make you a laser cut plexiglass call signs with LED lights in it, and then he'll cut your call sign out of oak or mahogany and all of that he sells. But he sells some reproduced Collins and Hollycrafter and Hammerlin cardboard advertisements from back in the 20s and 30s and 40s. And I've been thinking about ordering me a couple of them. I turned this wall out down here in my shack. I'm probably going to do that tomorrow. I've got the material. Go ahead and build me a decent sized workbench in here. And I'm going to put all my equipment up there and all these boat anchors up on display. And I'd like to have some of them old Hollercrafter and Hammerland advertisements from back in the 30s and 40s and early 50s. I just love getting into that history and seeing the advertisements for some of these radios, Andy. KI4LZI and KO4NUE, K4OIM. Somebody pick it up. I think it's your turn, Chad.
I went up to the deer camp today and finished putting my Tentec in. And cut me another dipole and got it up. It took me about 3 hours to get the antenna up because of all the trees. But I got it pretty much the way I want it. And hooked it up the radio and made a contact up in Asheville, and then made a second contact on somewhere up in North Carolina near the Tennessee line. I forget what town he is in, and was also able to make a contact in Illinois. So I guess everything's working. Got a lot of noise on the radio, though. Everybody's giving me a good signal report, but on the receive side, I've got a tremendous amount of noise, so much that it's hard for me to even clean some of it up. And I have to, on some stations, I have to put the speaker right up to my ear so I can try to pick out what they're saying. But all in all, it's worked out pretty good. But yeah, so all right, KO4NUE, KI4LZI, K4OIM. Go ahead and pick it up, Andy.
KI4LZI, you didn't have any more problems like you did before with the drifting, did you?
It's all frequency. What the VFO is telling me is about I don't know how much it's off. Oh, well, let's see, 39.15 is what I cut it for. So I get a good signal report and no complaints of being off frequency at 39.13. So in other words, the VFO is telling me one frequency. But the distant end, I get a lot of complaints about being off frequency. So I just tuned the VFO to what they're telling me is a good signal. And it's, I guess, what would that be, two hertz? Would it be be 2 hertz or 200 hertz? Be 200 hertz off.
But continue to be very, very careful about that, because if you get somewhere where you shouldn't, it's like, you remember how it was before when you was out of your privilege. You may be an extra now still, but you get past 7,300 down there, and get down in the Mars region, and you're not a member of Mars, that's liable to get you in big trouble. You ever, as he said before, you ever get a chance to get a frequency counter, you better get hold of one until you can get that issue straightened out. What do you think, Walt? KI4LZI.
Oh, I am here. Yeah, you need to get a freak counter. You can get one. Looks like a little transistor radio. It's got a little quilt antenna on it, or a telescopic quilt. I don't know, about 8 or 10 inches long, and just set it there next to the radio and turn it on. and it'll be a screen of zero showing up, but when you key that mic, it'll tell you exactly what frequency you're transmitting on. And but you're gonna have to turn your radio, you transmit, you go, like you go down to 3913 every time you transmit, but when you go back to receive, you're gonna have to turn the PFO on your radio back to 3915 to hear what they're saying, or you're gonna think they're off frequency. So you just be back and forth. Best thing is get that thing aligned, Chad. And talking about building the antenna, don't forget, I got that antenna launcher over here. You're welcome to borrow it anytime you want. I got it, a bicycle pump, and a tire gauge where you can check the pressure in it. They recommend it. 20 pounds of pressure in that thing, and I pumped it up to 20 and went to shoot it across the oak tree, and that thing, it went across the oak tree, and I think it went all the way up to Foster Road with 20 pounds of pressure in it. But you're welcome to borrow it anytime you need it, Chad.
I might do that, Walt. Slingshot works okay. It takes me a little bit because I've figured out I have to turn the slingshot on pretty much on its side because it somehow or another I guess when it launches the sinker it wants to pull the string into the fork of the slingshot. And it ends up getting to be a mess. But if I can, you know, can it to the left a little bit, it keeps it out of the slingshot. I can do pretty good with it. I was able to get it up and, you know, make it work. It just took me a while. But, you know, I enjoyed the day. It was pretty outside today and enjoyed the weather and all. So, you know, but next time I do that, I may just give you a holler or just come over and borrow it so I can figure out how to build me one. But Andy, pick it up.
Oh boy, how's the guy? Yeah, I hate y'all couldn't be there, cause like I said, we make if Spartanburg happens next year. Like it used to years ago on the first Saturday in May. Boy, something drastic don't happen between then and now, I'll bring him then. But needless to say, this amateur history was really... A lot of people found it interesting, and like I say, some people took pictures of it because it showed a lot of just this... Walt talks about all that boat anchor gear. It showed it well. Go ahead, Chad. Boy, how's the guy?
Hamfest I went to was up in North Carolina a couple of months ago. I forget where it was. I can't remember. But I picked up a Hammerlin. Receiver. I need to take it over to Walt and get him to look at it for me and see what he thinks, but I haven't actually hooked the antenna up to it to see if it'll receive. But I got it here in the shack, and you know, just to look at. I'd like to try to get the thing working, but I'd be years before I can figure that out. But it may work. I don't know. I'll just have to hook an antenna to it and see. Go ahead and get it. KO4NUE. Go ahead and get it, Walt.
I just hope you didn't send that thing in shock when you plugged it up and turned it on. But I'm the same way when I buy. I used to be that way when I'd buy one of these Bose anchors. And if it ain't been on in a while, those wax capacitors in there, you got to get them out. Even if it works perfect, you got to get them old capacitors out of it. But you have to hook that thing up to a variac and bring the power up on it real slow. It'd probably take 2 days to bring it up to 110. So it would, if any of the tubes in it's got gassy, you bring it up slow like that, the filament in there will burn the gases off. But if you bring it up real quick, usually it cooks the tubes in it. But yeah, you can change. You can bring it over now. See what I can do with it. But I'm going to have to get off here. My daughter's fixing me to call me up there to eat. So KI4LZI, KO4NUE, slant, GA, or AG, AG. I'm going to have to say 7-3 and get up there and get me something to eat and get back down here so I can check into the net out of a while. 7-3's Andy and Chad.
Boy, LZ, we'll talk to you later, Walt. You're right about that, about those by needing a variac. I knew that right off the hand when I had this old silver tongue from 1940 redone and being that it was last turned on in 1956, I knew that those capacitors was in it would be shot and it would have to be done. Not that I had the stuff to do it with, but I knew that would be necessary. And, Chad, when it comes to that, that telecraft that you got, go to that website that I was telling him about at some point in time. And you'll probably find it listed there and all the whole biography on that particular telecrafter's receiver. KI4LZI, turn it over to Chad there.
Get out, Andy. I need to do something with it and see if I can. What I'd like to do is find a transmitter that goes with it, but I'm just not knowledgeable enough about that in depth of electronics. I mean, I can solder pretty good, and I can test components. I mean, I know how to test a diode and a resistor and a potentiometer and things like that. And I can take a component out and put it back in, but I don't know anything about a vacuum tube. I just, every time I try to learn, it blows my mind how those things work.
That there wall go back in that day, everything was separate. You had separate receivers, separate transmitters. There wasn't any of these transceiver business of today. Everything was separate, so you have to look at it somewhat at that point of view. I know there's another Sears catalog that I've seen from 1962 that had a Telecrafters SX-140 in it. Well, it had a separate transmitter that went with it called a T-40. That was the transmitter that went with that receiver for AM and CW.
Okay. Well, I'll check it out and see, you know, what I can find. That sure would be kind of neat to have, you know, a transmitter to go with it that meant both of them worked. But, I don't know. We'll see, but anyway, well, I'm going to say 7-3s, Andy. I'm beat. I'm going to go in there and lay down for a little bit and get ready for the net, but Were you able to, before I go, were you able to get your scanner set up for the tracking collars?
I hadn't yet, but I'm going to. But just to give you informational purposes, last night I heard all kinds of activity up here where we are on the marine frequency. So they're out moving all around because I was hearing them up here last night. I was over on the marine frequency last night here, all around up here. So, like I told you, from now till certainly past time bear hunting season, it's going to be hot and heavy at times on those frequencies. KI4LZI.
Let me know how that works out. I'd be interested in knowing if you could, if you could even hear it. All right, I'm sure if it's transmitting, you should be able to hear the thing, but I don't know. I know the little setup we had was, oh man, it wasn't much. It was a handheld antenna with about, I don't know, 5 or 6 feet of coax, and had a little box you screwed it into, you wore on your belt, and I'm assuming that was the receiver. And it had a 9-volt battery in it, Andy. I can't quite remember, though. I'm pretty sure it was. And had a little box, had a little bit small external speaker on it, but there was a headphone jack too. We got the headphones to go with it, but it'd eat the batteries up in a minute when you plug those headphones in. But I mean, it's effective. I mean, I'm sure that if the receiver we had would pick it up, I'm sure a scanner would. Well, I don't know about that, Andy, because it's such a short chirp. It's 4 or 5 milliseconds. It's not a long tone, and I'm thinking a scanner might just go right over it. I don't know. What do you think?
That's the pre-net check-in thing on the machine here. To be completely, as far as certain about it, I don't know either. In some ways, you know more than I do about it. And it only being a half watt, they got to be too close here to my residence for me probably to hear it anyway. But I'm going to check in on it and program it here when I just hadn't done it because I went down to the ham fest yesterday and I got back, was kind of tired, but I'm going to because like I heard last night, it's picking up and come the last week this month, first week in November, the prime point of bears, you'll hear it all up, including during the day, KI4LZI.
Got to be a little bit frustrating. I mean, like I said, we used to love to hunt, and I got nothing against hunting at all. It's just when you own somebody else's property, that's an issue. I get it, especially if you're, you know, harvesting game off of somebody's property and you hadn't got permission. I mean, that's just downright just disrespectful. But, you know, I get it. But I hope the scanner's going to be able to pick that up. Andy, sometimes when you order a set of tracking collars, they'll send a sticker with it for advertisement. And some hunters will put that sticker on their vehicle. So if you're able to see what company it is that makes it, that sure would make it a whole lot easier. Because they're required by law to post what frequency the caller operates on. So we just go to their website and find out exactly what frequency they're running on. And you just turn the scanner to that frequency and just listen. Otherwise, you're going to have to, if the scan doesn't pick it up, you'll just have to manually try to listen. But it sounds very similar to a tick, like on WMV, the time clock. It's going to sound very similar to that. At about that time width. It's very short. KO4NUE, KI4LZI.
Well, as you said, I know what the odds are long. Believe it or not, after I come back yesterday from Hamfest out here picking, I saw some of our buddies up here that does. Reason why I know it, there was a truck there at the gas pumps, dog box in the back, and on the two sides of the front truck or the hood, they had those marine antennas on. But I didn't see anything like that you was talking about, but I didn't get that good a closer look because I didn't know to look then anyway.
Yeah, I know. If you don't own one, you don't have a reason to know anything about it. Like I said, we used to have, I think we had six of them. All the collars was a different color. One of them was pink. I remember that. But anyway, I mean, like I said, they're very, very effective. It's just very simple how they work. And I don't think we ever lost a dog. We were always able to find, you know. But at any rate, well, let me get on, Andy. I'm gonna go get a shower before the net and get cleaned up. Over IQ, I'm beat. So, KO4NUE, KI4LZI, 73s, Andy. You have a wonderful night, sir. And I'll see if you check in on the net. I'm clear.
Yeah, I was that way yesterday evening somewhat. So when I did get back here, I kind of was laid out for a bit. KI4LZI.